Well, do you love the Lord
today? Amen.
I'm excited for what God is doing. Amen. I'm excited for what God is doing. Thankful for that overflow. And I just feel the spirit of preach, teach today. Is that okay? I just really feel like this next, these next four messages that you will hear from me, it's Holy Spirit, the study of the Holy Spirit. And our kids are going to be working toward that as well as they work. We're not on the same schedule because I'm not going to be preaching every Sunday here for the next few weeks. There'll be some guests in and some other things taking place, Mother's Day. But I worked my calendar in such a way that my last message will be on Pentecost Sunday on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if that's something that you have not experienced yet, let me encourage you right now, go ahead and just begin to pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Amen? Just fill me with your Spirit. We're going to be working toward just answering some questions about the Spirit of God. Thank you for your prayers for Josh and Cassandra today. They're ministering on the West Coast in International Christian Church in Renton, Washington today. So be praying for them. Who is the Holy Spirit? Notice I put down there asking for a friend. How many of you have ever seen that happen before where somebody says, hey, listen, I'm calling about that job you got open, you know, for like $25 an hour. And it's not for me. I'm asking for a friend. Yeah, right. You want the job, okay? So you're just calling, you know, and you're afraid somebody on your job is going to hear that you're on the phone trying to get another job. You got me? You know, come on. We do that kind of thing, asking for a friend. Because sometimes people aren't comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to address it in four different ways and in this next series, and hopefully answer some valued questions that we all have and remove some ideas that just might be a little bit wrong about your perspective on the Holy Spirit. How many of you thoroughly understand the Holy Spirit and can get up here and explain it in about 30 minutes? Anybody? That's what I thought. So the title, Who is the Holy Spirit? Just asking for a friend. You know, human nature is to do that kind of thing when you really want the answer for yourself, but you can kind of, you know, kind of phrase it in such a way that you still get the information, but you don't really reveal where you are. That's just a reality for me. I haven't always been a Spirit-filled believer. I grew up in a church that did not embrace and still does not embrace this idea of Pentecostalism. Come on. How many of y'all grew up in churches like that besides me? You grew up in a church that maybe you've been there all your life and you never heard anyone pray in the Spirit. Maybe you went there all your life and you never saw anybody just bless the Lord, oh my soul. You went there all your life and you never saw anyone get a hold of the wire of the Holy Ghost like Susan did this morning. I just leaned over and I turned around and I said, that girl got a hold of the wire this morning. Come on. She was attached to the Spirit of God. Amen. And the dynamics of the Holy Spirit were evident and manifesting in her life. That's what we're talking about. How many of you rather have that than just this? Come on. Come on. When I go to church, listen, I don't care where the overflow comes. I don't care who the vessel is that God chooses to use. But when I come to church, I want to be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I want to know because I know that I've had a divine encounter with God and a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit. Just like when we finished this message this morning, I want to know that the altar is open and that people can come. And if it's healing that you need, healing you can have. If it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to wait till Pentecost Sunday. If it, whatever you need is here. And so, I haven't always been that believer that was Pentecostal. Amen? And I'm not ashamed of Pentecostalism. I'm really not. I'm very thankful for the Spirit-filled life. And so, coming into that Pentecostal arena, my mind goes back occasionally, and I just begin to think about those days. You know, I witnessed all the noise, and I witnessed the excitement. And can I just remind you of something? If you are Pentecostal, if you are Spirit-filled, listen, it's very shocking for someone to come into an atmosphere of worship that they're not accustomed to that. Can I just remind you of that? I mean, when they come in, they might think you just come unglued, and you would look at it like, well, just a normal service, you know, just a normal day, Because why? Because your levels are raised and you're looking for an experience that the manifest presence of God was in the room.
Amen.
Amen? And you don't have to be, listen, you don't have to be in Carpenter Shop International Church on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for that to happen. How many of you know that you can get a couple, three, four, or five believers in a room somewhere and Holy Ghost comes down? Come on. I'm telling you, you can be somewhere, and you know, in a little prayer gathering or something, and the Spirit of God can manifest, and there can be a message in tongues, there could be a prophetic word to come forth, people can be weeping just as much with 5 or 6 people as 500 or 600. But this is what I've discovered, the more the merrier. Come on, somebody. I love a packed room, I really do. I love it when there's not many seats left, amen? Because what happens is, more people come to church, more presence. Come on, because why? Your body, Paul said, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So the more temples of the Holy Spirit you get in here, the more possibilities you have in the spirit realm. Amen?
Amen.
That's just the truth. I remember going to Hertford, North Carolina. I remember just watching that little church that was labeled as crazy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, crazy, why? Because we didn't really understand it. And guess what? That's okay. If I were to ask you, I'm not this morning, but to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand and say, listen, how many of you just have some big questions about this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, this whole speaking in tongues thing? Probably many of you would raise your hands. Because, and guess what? That's not an unusual thing. Look at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. I'm using the NLT this morning, the New Living Translation, a favorite of Mother Jenny's. And listen, it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Notice what he does. He finds in his ministry trail, he finds a place where there are several believers. And he questioned them. Paul the Apostle, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. Look at what they said. We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Okay? They just believed, but they hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So it's not unusual for people to have questions. I remember growing up in Hertford, North Carolina. I remember, you know, getting to that place where, you know, my mom used to kind of let us go into town. You know, you don't let kids do a lot of things that our parents used to let us do. You know, drink from garden hoses and go into town by yourself and, you know, just leave the doors unlocked and stuff. You don't do that anymore. But in those days, I remember when I got a bicycle, you know, and I remember when I came to the part where, you know, can I just ride somewhere else besides on our street? And mom said, well, where do you want to go? I want to go into town. Because, listen, you could go into town and you could get an orangeade for 15 cents at Woodard's Pharmacy. Can I tell you, they still make orangeades at Woodard's Pharmacy, but not for 15 cents. Amen? You could get dip ice cream. Can I tell you, you can still get old-fashioned dip ice cream at Woodard's Pharmacy? And I wanted to go into town. And so I remember when my mom allowed me to leave our home, which was right on the outskirts of town. And I remember just being able to take my bicycle, my black Huffy. Amen. I'm driving a black Huffy today, a truck. But it was a black Huffy in those days. And I pedaled that thing, man, into town. And I was bad to the bone. Why? Because I left home and went to town. And I remember stopping and getting an orangeade. And I remember hanging out before hanging out was even in my verbiage. We just went to town and connected with friends. One of the things we used to do is that if I was over there late in the evening or something like that, and it's daylight saving times and ain't got dark yet, and mama said, be home by dark. Okay? She didn't give a time. Just be home by dark. So we was go and sit in front of the Pentecostal church. And I can visualize myself right now sitting there watching the Pentecostals in their worship setting. And we would sit across the street, and they had a little shotgun church, you know, 7 or 8 pews on one side, 7 or 8 pews on the other, and we would watch the Pentecostal service to poke fun at them. We would watch the Pentecostal service to to see how when they got in the Holy Ghost, and I'm talking about old school guys, I'm talking about them women that flopped until the hair came down. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the glory. That woman, she wouldn't cut her glory off for nothing. She would not let that hair be cut, but she bunned it all up on the top of her head. And man, when she got a hold of the Holy Ghost, you realize that she was like a woman of God with her hair down to her waist because she shook it off. And it would be that if they got so Spirit-empowered in those services that when they began to weep, if they would have wore makeup, it would have run, but they didn't wear it because it wasn't spiritual to wear makeup. Come on. I grew up on that. Anybody else besides me? I grew up on that. And we used to watch, and we used to just be entertained by the Pentecostals because they left the back doors open. They had two clear glass doors on the back of that church, and you could see it happen. And little did I know that as the years would go by, that I would be at the same altar getting filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, amen. I had no idea. But I wanted to date this girl named Joy. And I remember leaning on the pole outside of the grocery store that night. It was used to be a store called Big Star Foods in Hertford. I remember, I got off work and I'd fed the hogs. I grew up, working on the farm, and I'd fed the hogs and all that stuff. And that was the day's work was done. I remember leaning on the post, and I remember this girl coming out of the grocery store. She'd gone in to get something after church. I said, "Hey, girl, when we going out?" She said, "You never asked me." I said, "Well, I'm asking you now." And, I just thought I was one to be desired. I mean, I thought I'd just, hey, you just ask and you get an answer. Yes, right? Amen. I had a complex, and it probably wasn't healthy, but I thought it was good, So I said, "Hey, when we going out?" "You haven't asked me." And I said, "Well, I'm asking you now." And I just said, "Hey, how about Thursday night? I mean, here we are in the summer, daylight saving time. It's not a really issue. School's not an issue." She said, "No, I got to work Thursday night." I said, "Well, how about Friday night?" She said, "Well, I've got something going on. I got a date Friday night already." And I said, "Well, how about Saturday night? We got something at the church." I said, "Well, how about Sunday? I got to go to church." I thought, wow, this is going to be tough. So I asked her again, and she said, "Yeah, you can, but my mama's got a requirement." And I said, "What's your mama's requirement? I'm willing to meet it." And she said, "You got to go to church with me." And I said, "Where do you go to church?" And she said, "I go to First Assembly of God down there." And I thought, wow, I remember sitting on the bank watching you guys. You mean your parents were the ones that were in there just, going all crazy? So I said, "You know what? If I want to go, if I really want what I want here, then I'm going to have to go to church." And I didn't have a problem going to church. You know why? Because I went to church every Sunday. I went to church every Sunday. In fact, when I got my driver's license as a young person, 16 years old, driving, my dad still made me go to church every Sunday night. I was the only youth in the building, but he made me go. I was made to go. And so I went to their church, and I said, "You know what? Looking on the outside is different than being on the inside, I'm telling you." I mean, and somehow or another, I don't know how it happened, but somehow or another, me and all my wanderings and me and all my thought collecting, I just don't know how it happened, but I ended up at the altar. And I remember on my knees looking up, hearing languages I'd never heard. Somebody's speaking French, somebody's speaking Italian, somebody's speaking Swahili. I don't know what it was. But I remember hearing those languages in my ear, and I remember the tears and probably the mucus and snot and everything else just falling down on my head and in my face. And I thought, what are they doing? Okay. And then I said, "You know what? If I ever get up from this altar, I ain't coming back in this place, okay? I ain't coming here." But here's the reality. When I got away from there, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, my mind as a young man was thinking, those folks have something that I'm missing. Because it wasn't a game, it wasn't a show to them, it was reality, man. It was reality. And I don't know how many of y'all grew up on the Pentecostal church, but buddy, we've calmed down a whole lot in our Pentecostal circles than what we used to. That's why, they called us what? Holy rollers. Why? Because it won't nothing to see folk rolling all over the floor and rolling in the aisles. And I've seen people walk pews, man, never miss a one. I've seen feet hit pews in the Holy Ghost and never miss the top of a pew. I mean, just go for it. And you knew because you knew because you knew this is the Holy Spirit. You couldn't take off and walk these pews if you wanted to. And I thought, you know what? This is unusual because they've got something that I know it's real. And I begin to pray this prayer. Lord, if this is real and if you want me to have it, complete the prayer here for me. I want it, okay? And I begin to pray that, and I begin to get hungry, and I begin to find myself in the presence of the Lord with tears coming down my face. And it wasn't long. I remember when I was gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't long before I was one of them, you know? And can I tell you something? I don't regret a single day of my life as a Spirit-filled believer. I really don't. Come on, give the Lord praise today. I don't regret a single life. You know, but yet I have to tell you, even today, and if anybody's worth their salt, I don't care how much education they got, even today, I still have questions concerning the Holy Spirit. Questions not about Him or questions not about really His role, but there's some things sometimes that take place that I say, Lord, what were you doing there? You know, come on. Come on, Lord, what was happening in the realm of the Spirit there? You know, Lord, I've never seen you do anything like that. What is this about? So I still have questions today. And it's interesting, I got this in the mail just Friday, as a matter of fact. Dawn Lee is a person who writes, man, she writes beautiful. She's like a font out of a computer. And she's not here today. She was here last Sunday because she generally sits right over here to my far left, to your far right. But she wrote me this letter this week, and I thought, how timely. Because she's talking about the Holy Spirit. Dear Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, the day of resurrection has come and passed. And now we wait for the Spirit to fill us. Can you imagine the lives of the 120 on the day of Pentecost? Often my faith seems weak and I pray for the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. They didn't realize what an overwhelming thing this indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. We only have to let the Spirit help us, even in our prayer time. Yet we falter and we stumble and we let despair rule. Can you imagine not having the sense of the Holy Spirit in your life 24/7? She's writing to her pastor here. Can you imagine, Pastor, not having the Holy Spirit sense and presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always available for a talk? Can you imagine not having that? I cannot explain the Holy Trinity, she says. But I thank God every day for the blessings of His love, sacrifice, and His abiding presence. His favor is great, and I am truly blessed by this garden He has given me. Take care and walk today knowing that you are prayed for and loved dearly by me and by God, Dawn Lee. You know, and listen, I save these things a lot of times. You say, well, you know, what's that all about? Well, she's done that for years. She's written me letters. You say, well, she's going to see you on Sunday. It's not about that. What is it about? It's about a spiritual gift. We call it edification, building up, nurturing, the gift of encouragement. And so just encouraging her pastor, just writing a word to Pastor Wallace and Joy. But I thought how timely this is because in it she said, I can't explain the Trinity. It was in my studies in college, I remember they said that Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said, you know, the person who tries to understand the Trinity is in danger of losing his mind. And the person who tries to explain the Trinity is in danger of losing his soul. Okay? It'll drive you that crazy. The Trinity, how do you understand it? They used to say, well, you know, it's like water. Sometimes it's frozen. We call that ice. Sometimes it's liquid. We call it water. And then the Holy Spirit's that vapor. You know, I don't know if that's a good way. Probably not. But how do you explain this Holy Spirit? How do you even reckon this within your mind? Listen, the Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is authentic. And I want to begin this series in today's first message, the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us. And I want to leave you with an understanding, and here it is. The The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and our relationship with Him is a vital part of Christian life and living. Let me read that one more time. The Holy Spirit is the third person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person. It's not an it. I've heard people say, man, it was moving in the church Sunday. What was it? They really called the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is the third person of the Godhead. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9 in the New Living Translation. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Think about yourself now as I read this verse. But you are controlled by the Spirit, and here's the qualifier. If you have the Spirit of God living, where is He living? In me. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, he says, that those, catch this now, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Think about that. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ residing in you, then you don't have Christ living in you at all. Amen? And the Bible says, I remember where Paul tells the church at Corinth, no man can come to the relationship with Christ Jesus unless what happens? Unless the Spirit of God draw him. It's impossible. Let's consider what it means to have the Holy Spirit in us, with us, and through us. The first thing, the Holy Spirit brings us freedom. The Holy Spirit in us brings us freedom. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the NLT again. So there is now what? No condemnation. I want you to catch this. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, if you're a born-again child of the living God because you've come to salvation through the shed blood of Christ and the Spirit of God drawing you, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, watch this, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature, so God did what the law could never do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And that body, God declared an end to sin's, watch this, control. Sin doesn't have control over you if you're a Christian. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. I understand that. We're going to get to that. But sin should not have control over you. By giving us, God gave us His Son as a what? Sacrifice for our sins. That's why sin should not have dominion or power or control over you. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow, here's the key, we no longer follow our sinful nature. Instead, we follow the Spirit of God. Remember the little bracelets? I got one on my arm today that is a Celebrate Recovery bracelet. But this, remember the little bracelets that were out there for so many years, WWJD? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And so that bracelet was, you know, it was a movement on the earth. That bracelet was supposed to be a reminder to you as a person, how would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus do His taxes? How would Jesus fill out His time card on the job? How would Jesus act in a car with a person of the opposite sex when no one's around? How would Jesus do this? How would Jesus act? And so that's this reminder. Can I just tell you something? You don't need a bracelet. You got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't need a bracelet to remind you of that. You have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that He's talking about here gives you that desire that you no longer follow your sinful nature, but instead you follow the Spirit. No condemnation is incredibly freeing. Too many live with the things that condemn them. Their lives are full of guilt and full of regret, and they live by this statement. Well, I just wish it would have been different. I just wish it was different. There are people in this room right now, I guarantee you, because there's people here. There are people in this room right now that are struggling with vices in your life. Things that you say, somebody say, man, I'll tell you one thing, I wish I could just lay these things down. You can. You say, well, you know, I tell you what, I just wish I could stop that. I got a filthy mouth. You can. There is a way that you can. And it comes through what? A life of the Spirit. A life of the Spirit. Freedom starts with forgiveness. The Spirit draws us to Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us that. The Spirit of God draws us to Christ. But you must choose to do something, and that is accept forgiveness and then live like you're a forgiven people. Let me say that again. You must choose to accept forgiveness and then live like you are forgiven. Romans 8 verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature. I love this verse. Think about sinful things. Okay, so listen. If you're sitting here this morning and you have a problem in an area of your life and you kind of just keep catering to it, maybe last night was Saturday night and you were not in a place where people were lifting their hands and worshiping and singing about Jesus. Maybe you were somewhere else. But here's what it says. Those who are, here we go, dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about things that please the Spirit. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? So where does it all start? Come on. It don't start in the heart. It starts in the mind. It starts in your mind. As you think, so you are. Okay? The Spirit draws you. And then Romans says if you're dominated by that sinful nature, you'll think about sinful things. But if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you think about things that please the Spirit. Paul understood this. Man, remember the tension that he had in Romans 7? You know, and a lot of people use this for their benefit. Well, you know, even Paul said, the things that I want to do, you know, that's not what I do. And the things that I don't want to do, lo and behold, that's what I find myself doing. So they use that as permission to keep screwing up themselves. But you know what? If you back up to Romans 6, Paul addresses that clearly in Romans 6, in the first few verses. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And answers himself, inspired of the Holy Spirit. God forbid, by no means. We don't use the grace of God, the cross of Christ and the burial and the resurrection to, you know, this grace thing to give us a license to do something wrong. He says, don't do that. You're cheapening God's grace when you do that. So he understood the tension. But sin doesn't have to have power over you. The same Holy Spirit, listen, that drew you to Christ will be the same Holy Spirit that will cause you to live with the freedom and overcome the things that want to steal your freedom. Check that out. So stop getting tripped up by the things that God's already been forgiven you of. Freedom starts with forgiveness. Secondly, freedom is sustained by the Spirit of God. It's one thing to know you've been set free, but then it's a totally different thing to walk and live in an understanding that Christ has set you free. Just this past week, let me give you a fresh illustration. I got fresh illustrations all this week. Just this past week, one of our Celebrate Recovery people shared with me on the phone about a drug dealer calling them up. And the drug dealer called this person up and they said, hey, just want to let you know, I got some stuff available. Okay. And she said, Pastor, what I did was I just said, listen, don't you ever call me again. Don't you call me again. She said, because the life that I live now is not there. She said, I'm not using now, I'm just dealing. Don't call me. And I said, man, thank God. Thank God, look at what the Lord has done. I can't believe this, but hey, look at what you did. That's like a victory. And I said to this person, that's like a trophy. You made it over one of those temptations, and you told the dealer, take your stuff and go. Don't call me no more. So the same Holy Spirit, check this out, that calls you to freedom will sustain you in your freedom. Amen? The same Holy Spirit. You know, you have a problem with this thing? Or you got guys and gals, you have a problem with this thing, and when nobody else is around, you're like, hey, let me check this out. And you're looking at things that you have no business looking at. And then you say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then tomorrow, what do? Well, you're by yourself again. You boo, 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 you know, you look it up. The same Holy Spirit, let me say this one more time. The same Holy Spirit that set you free from sin is the same Holy Spirit that will sustain you and do as Paul said, help us to say no to ungodly things. That's what we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. He's in us to help us. This same Holy Spirit that calls you to freedom will sustain you in your freedom. The enemy of your soul knows this, beloved. He knows and understands the power of a person who is living a very free life, set free from those things that once held you captive. The enemy knows that, so he will try everything possible to keep you from living in the reality of your freedom in Christ. This is how Satan attacks you. He tries to undermine God's credibility. Well, he didn't really change you. Look at you still doing it. I talked to a believer this week who has really been trying to, you know, to walk a different path, and they had a little stumble. They had a little stumble. And, you know, I could have easily said, I was talking with them on the phone. They said, Pastor, you know, I disappointed myself is what I'm saying. And I could have said, you know what, you common dog, why did you even pray the prayer? Stop doing this. You're abusing the grace of God. I could have said that, but you know what I said? I said, hey, brother, just thank God. Look at what you're doing right now. You're talking to your pastor. And you're talking to a person who cares about you and a person who can help you. And what did you say? He said, man, I just slipped. And I said, man, get up. Brush your knees off. Do this thing. You can do it. Look how many days you did it. Okay? No, I didn't condemn them. What I did was cheer them on and spur them on and say, get up, man. Don't wallow in your failure. Get up and try this thing again. Get up and move forward. Don't lay in your failure. You know, remember when Paul had the shipwreck? And the ship is all blown to pieces. You know, they could have sat out there and circled all around the ship and say, oh, look at our boat. This was such a nice boat. No, grab a piece of wood and get to the shore. Grab a piece of wood. He said to them, get a hold of something and get to the shore where you're on solid ground again. You can get another boat. And so when you walk in the things of God and then maybe you have a slip up, listen, don't lay there wallowing in your slip up. You know, just say, man, I wish I'd never done it, but I went to the party and I had a few drinks, and then now I just want to go ahead and get plastered. No, stop drinking and leave. How many times have you ever blown a diet? And you say, hey man, what the heck? Give me two more pieces of cheesecake. No, stop right now. Stop right now. Draw the line and quit. Don't just say, well, I've blown it, so what the heck? And that's what we have to do in our Christian walk. Freedom. The devil knows, and so he tries to undermine God's credibility of what he's done in your life. Then he tries to make it hard to live a Christian life. We really make it too hard. He tries to confuse you with false teaching, letting you pick and choose little scriptures that kind of make you feel better about it, when all you're doing is just taking a scripture and destroying the meaning that God intended and just giving you biblical permission to do what you want to do. You can do that. There's enough scripture in there that you can find that has gray areas that you can justify your behaviors. That's why you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then the enemy tries to cause division in the body of Christ. Arguments between believers and things like that. He tries ultimately to get you to trust yourself more than you trust him. That's why it's so important to keep, as Peter said in his epistle, walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It's important for us to pray. Look at what he says. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Okay? On every occasion. And stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers and what you do. This is important for believers. Pray for them too, everywhere. But it's important for you as a Christian to be sober. The one translation says, be sober, be vigilant. Because why? Because your adversary is out there roaming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you got to make sure that you live a sober life. Live a life that is circumspect. The word there in the original language is so you can see all around you, and the enemy is trying to destroy you. One of the reasons we need to pray in the Spirit on all these occasions is because we can't defeat the devil on our own strength. You're no match for the devil. Let me go ahead and tell you that. I don't care if you've been serving God for 70 years. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in the morning, noon, and night. You're no match for the devil. You're not. But you can learn to walk in the Spirit, and you can learn the Word of God, and you can war against the things of the enemy. So here we've discovered here that freedom starts with forgiveness, and then freedom is sustained in your life by the Spirit of God. Thirdly, freedom is strengthened by your daily experience with the Spirit of God. Your daily experience in the Spirit gives you this enlightenment of the Word. Look at what the Bible says. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, you know what He'll do? He'll guide you. He'll guide you. Don't you get tired of that person that comes, hey, just, would you pray for me? I mean, every time you try, pray for me, pray for me. I'm having a hard time. Who's not? Who's not having a hard time? This is what we call life. But you can't just say, pray for me. You've got to get a relationship with God's Word. And when the Spirit of truth comes, you know what He'll do? He'll guide you. He'll lead you into truth. And He will not speak on His own, but He'll tell you what He's heard. And He will even tell you about the future, your future. Listen, beloved, and listen, yes, we'll pray for you, but it's got to go deeper than pray for me. Some people have been saying that all their life. Just pray for me. I'm having a hard time. Well, do something different. If you want different results, do something different. Amen. Some of y'all got quiet on that one. God bless you. Just God bless you. Come on. Don't just keep saying the same thing. Pray for me. I'm having a hard time. Who's not? This is life. Amen? Your daily experience with the Spirit of God gives you the opportunity to connect with the community of faith. And so listen, that's why it's important. There's empty seats here today. Shouldn't be. Why? Because it's important. It's priority. Upon the first day of the week, we gather together for something we call church. It's collective gathering. It's community. It's being bound together. Because what happens in that is clearly written in Acts chapter 2. Look at what it says. All the believers devoted themselves. And if you want to really have a good time, study this passage. But stop at the word devoted. And look at what devoted means. I'm not sure we're as devoted as what the Bible calls for. Amen?
Amen.
He says all the believers, they did what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. There was a level of devotion that hit those major areas of their Christian walk, and a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles, they performed many signs and wonders. Why? Because people were so focused on their walk with God. They were so devoted to the things of God that they created a platform for God to move. That's what happens with us. When we get in the right frame of mind, God can do anything in this place. Then the Bible says, and all the believers, they met together, one place, they shared everything they had, they sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. How many times does that happen today? People too, I can't sell that, man. I got too much in it. I can't do that. I can't give that. You know, that's too much. There's people that go sit in a church and eat the fat of God's word through the pastor and enjoy the worship team and their anointing. And you look at their checkbook. They ain't giving no money to the church. Why? Because they're robbing God. They're not tithing, but they go to Sam's Club and spend $175 on something they want. They go to Walmart. They go out to eat. Hey, let's go to B-Dubs and grab some wings or whatever. They go anywhere and just, hey, let's do this. Because they're feeding themselves. But you take your checkbook and look at how much money you sow into the kingdom. The Bible says where a man's money is where his heart is. Some of y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a brand new gate. It's just the truth. Amen. You just did your taxes. Amen. Look and see how much money you gave to the church. They go, hey, I gave more than that. No, you didn't. You thought you did, but you didn't. Find the checks. Find the checks. Go look at how much you hit the app. How much did you give? And you know what? It's just a reality that we have to come face to face with, that we're not always as devoted as we think we are.
Amen.
Y'all, some of the finest Presbyterians I've ever preached to on a Sunday morning. That's why the church is important. Look at this. Look at this. They worship together in the temple once a week at 11 o'clock. No. They worship together at the temple each day. They met in their homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord, because of their devotion, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's why church is important. Having a church family frees you from facing life's pressures by yourself. You know what? I can say this and mean it from the depths of my heart. I'm closer to some of you than I am some of my own blood members of the family. How many of you can say that? It's true, isn't it? Why? Because you find a camaraderie. You find a connection. You got some folks in your family you don't care to be around. That's why you didn't go to the family reunion last year. Amen? Because you're tired of hearing it. You don't want women slobbering all over you. I love you! And then they stab you in the back as soon as you leave. You don't want that. You want commonality and communion and love and koinonia and fellowship. And you find that in the body of Christ. Amen? All right, so the Holy Spirit in us brings us freedom. We have this freedom. I'm set free from the thing that just held me bound. I'm set free, and I can get together with other believers who have also been set free, and we have a lot in common. That's all I said the last 10 minutes. Second thing, the Holy Spirit in us brings us peace. The good news is that everyone's looking for peace, and you can only find it in the Prince of Peace. Never has there been a time where everyone is just deeply searching for peace, because we're close to the end. People are searching for peace. People are looking to religions of varied kinds. There's a multiplicity of thoughts out there today. People look through all kinds of mediums of all kinds. They look at tarot cards, palm reading, zodiac, psychics, which all leads to the same thing, witchcraft. I know Christians. I've seen people from my church right here. I've seen people post it on Facebook. Did you read your zodiac for today? No, and I'm not going to. Because the zodiac's not in charge of my life. Oh, I saw it in the paper. It's a great day for travel. Any day's a good day to get on a ship and go on a cruise. Shut your mouth. It's a great day for travel. When is it not better to travel than go to work? Come on. A zodiac is nothing. Well, the stars are lined up just right. Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. There is. But that's not what you seek. How many of you have ever heard, how many of you have ever said this? Well, it is full moon. It matters. Why do you think in the Bible, when you read the story about Jesus being born, there were people called magi from the east? There were astrologers. All that stuff does matter, but it's not the priority, okay? The priority is the Word of God. And don't worry about the stars. Don't worry about your zodiac. Worry about what the Bible says. Amen? Worry about what the Bible says, because God's given you the revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ, and then He gave the revelation of Himself in the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. You've got the Word of God on paper, and you've got the Word of God in your spirit, in your heart. So don't worry about the tetra cards, and don't worry about the Ouija boards. I promise you, if you stop on the side of the road and pay a psychic reader $20 or $50 or whatever you pay them, they can tell you something true. But you're barking up the wrong tree and asking the wrong spirit.
Amen.
Kids get together. The first thing they try to do is, oh, say I got a Ouija board. Can I just tell you something? The Ouija board works. It will move. But you don't play with those spirits. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That's all you need. Well, I wonder if it's in the cards for me. No, don't talk like that. Because the cards aren't controlling your life. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. You're a child of the living God. He's ordered your steps. He has a destiny designed for you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Good word this morning. So you need to pay attention to the Spirit of God who is now in you. Somebody say in me. He's in me because I've confessed my sin and I've invited him in. And I don't need your zodiac anymore. I don't need to study the stars. I don't need your tetra cards. And I don't need your Ouija board. I've got the Word of God, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'll hide his Word in my heart. Why? So that I don't have to sin against God. Excuse me, I said I was going to teach this morning. Holy Spirit brings us peace. People are looking all the wrong places for things. And yes, they'll get answers that way. But that's not God's way. Because when you start playing with witchcraft, honey, you bit off more chunk than you can handle. I'm telling you, I'm warning you. Don't play with that stuff. Will it work, Pastor? Yes, it will work. But not in your favor. Thank you, somebody. I guarantee you the devil will hang you out to dry. Amen. And make a fool of you. Amen. When what we all need is the Spirit of God. He brings us peace. Look at Romans 8, 6 to 8. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. Having peace of mind comes from the Spirit. So who or what occupies your mind? Whatever space, check this out. Whatever space in your life God gets, you'll have peace in that area. And whatever space God gets eliminated from, you will not have peace in that area. That area of your life will be dominated by fear and confusion. Amen. There are several things in life that attempt to steal your peace. This is what we call peace thieves. Several things that are peace thieves in your life. One of them is uncontrollable circumstances. If you don't think that you have trouble with uncontrollable circumstances, get in traffic and you're in a hurry. Come on. What are you doing up? What are those idiots doing up there? Well, there's an accident up there that you can't see. And if you keep acting like you're acting, there's going to be another accident. Uncontrollable circumstances will take the peace of God right out of your life. This past week, I had a doctor's appointment. And they said, you know, we don't want you to be there at 8 o'clock. And I said, okay, I'll be there at 8 o'clock. So I got to 8 o'clock. Nobody's there for me. I'm sitting there in the waiting room right by myself. 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, 9:15. I got up. I said to reception. She said, yes, sir. I said, I'll see you another time. She said, you're leaving? I said, yeah, I got other responsibilities. I didn't say it ugly. She said, well, Pastor Phillips, I'm sorry. I said, no worries. I did not let an uncontrollable circumstance steal my peace, hear me, nor affect my behavior. I called up with my wife. She said, you don't really have to be here. You can go back to your appointment. I said, no, I want to be here. I want to be here. And it's more important for me to be here than to sit there and potentially get frustrated. Yeah. I mean, you can sit in a waiting room now thanks to cell phones. Come on. That's not a big deal. You on Facebook 90% of your day anyway. Amen? Amen? You're going to sit there and play word games, you know? I mean, I love word games. I saw the other day when I was playing my little word games. If you do this every day for 30 minutes, you'll be a smarter person. I said, I thought so. I've already noticed it in my life. I get on the airplane now, word skates. I've already got Pastor Joy. We're back and forth. Your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. We had a one-hour flight last week from Florida back to North Carolina. We played about 10 or 15 word games. And now we're beginning our descent into Raleigh, North Carolina. It was all over with, just a few word games. If I sat there and let myself get miserable by circumstances that I can't control, so you find something to occupy your mind. Well, that's real spiritual, playing word games. That's none of your business. That's how I chose to spend my flight. Amen. Why weren't you reading the Word of God? Why are you judging me? Amen? So I can see you right now, every flight you get on, you just grab the Bible. Thank the Lord, I'm flying 3 hours, now I get to study the Bible. Tap your neighbor and say, he's awake today. Peace stealers, peace thieves. Uncontrollable circumstances, getting stuck in traffic, delayed flights, a co-worker's bad attitude, a child who just will not do the right thing can steal your peace. Then unchangeable people. Isn't it interesting how resistant people are to change? Have you ever tried to change someone? One of the quickest ways to lose your peace of mind is try to change somebody who don't want to be changed. And then unanticipated problems. This happens regularly. It's a part of what we call life. Unanticipated problems. 10 o'clock last week, Elizabeth City, just left the nursing home seeing Joy's father. She gets in the car and says, you hear that knock? And I gave her every husband's response. No, I don't hear anything. Ain't that what we say? No, I don't hear that. So she said, listen. Oh, thank you. Now the Lord's using you to tell me to listen, okay? So I put it in park, and I get out, and I hear this tap, 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 tap. I said, you're right, it is knocking. It's 10 o'clock. The car is knocking. We're 45 minutes from home. Now what did I do? Lose my cool and say, come on, God. No, I just said, okay. I said, let's just turn it off and see what we see. We go around there and raise the hood up. Take my little light, thank God for cell phones, take my little light and just hold it down there. And both of us looked, and Joy said, look at that. Here's the mechanic in the family. Look at that. She said, that belt has slipped over. I said, yeah, it is. Serpentine belt. How many of you know the serpentine belt makes a difference? It slid over about a quarter of an inch. It's not on the pulley the way it's supposed to be. So she does what every mom will do. She calls the one in the family that is mechanic. He's on the West Coast, but hey, he's 3 hours behind. He's awake. Josh tells her that, hey, you serpentine belt. Sorry, Zach, we didn't want to bother you. You know, you're working at the shipyard. He says, I just Googled it while we're talking here. He said, you got to get a 14-millimeter wrench, and you got to get that tensioner pulley loosened. And you've got to slide that belt back over where it belongs and then let the tension back out. Well, some of you guys are saying, that's a piece of cake. Guess what? For me, it's not. Okay? It's not a piece of cake. You just let your wife call her son who knows about these things. So just in case he didn't know what he was talking about, I Googled it. Hey, Siri, what do you do with the serpentine belt on a Mazda C7? I found this on the web. She did. She found it on the web. And you know what she said to me? The same thing that Joshua had already told her. I said, okay, 14-millimeter wrench. So where are we going to get a 14-millimeter wrench at 10 o'clock at night? And when we get the wrench, because of my track record in mechanics, we ain't accomplishing nothing. Okay? So I walk into Walmart. And as the Holy Spirit would have it, as soon as I step down the aisle, I see a man in front of me with a sign that says, Sawyer's Diesel Mechanics. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, bud, how you doing? He turns around. I said, you're a mechanic? He said, yep. And so I gave him the whole spiel about the serpentine belt and needing the 14-millimeter. He said, you going back to the auto part back here? I said, yeah. He said, no, let's go. He said, I got a 14-millimeter right here in the parking lot. So we walk out in the parking lot. As fate would have it, he's two spaces over from the car that needs the work. He raises his toolbox up 14 millimeter. He says, hold the light, man. What do you do for a living? Here we go. I said, I'm a pastor. And he's doing the work and I'm doing the talking. I'm a pastor. And he fixed it in just a few minutes, probably 5 to 7 minutes it was over with. He said, start that car up. Start it up, man, run like a Singer sewing machine. No knocks. Unanticipated problems. But if you're led by the Spirit, see, an unanticipated problem could be a divine setup, because God loved a man who needed him, and God loved a man who needed a divine encounter with the Spirit of God enough to break my car down. And I didn't get upset. Joy didn't get upset. Neither one of us were upset. We were just 10 o'clock at night. We'd done worked all day, and then after working all day, go to the nursing home. We weren't upset. Neither one of us cocked an attitude. And I just said to the guy, I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he looked me straight in the face, and he said, man, please pray for me. I'm standing in Walmart. Please pray for me. I said, I will. Tell me what's going on. My wife has Crohn's disease. And he started crying. And he said, it's getting to be really bad. And he said, on top of that, man, he said, we're messed up financially. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, bless him. Lord, can we just get home? Can I go to Starbucks and get me a coffee and go home? No, bless him. So I go to the ATM machine. And the Lord spoke a number to my spirit. And I thought, God, that's a lot. That's a lot for 7 minutes. That's beyond what the book says pay him, okay? That's a lot. The Lord says pay him. I said, okay. So I swiped every dollar just about that I had out of the thing and put it in my hand. And the Lord said, don't put it in your pocket. Give it to him. I said, okay. All right. So I give him the money and he says, no, you don't have to do that. And I said, no, yes, I do. I have to do this. And I prayed for him again. And I said, hey, where do you live? And he told me. And I just quickly did a spiritual inventory of a dynamic church that would show up on my DNA in my head. And I said, hey, I want to tell you about a church. Do you go to church? He said, no, we don't go to church anywhere, man. I'm being honest with you. I said, well, Sunday is Easter. Most everybody goes on Easter Sunday. But I said, you know what you need? You need connection with a body of believers. And you need to start nurturing this relationship that you say you have. Because you said you believe, you just don't go to church. And I said, you need to go to church. And I gave him the name of the church. And I said, you're on Facebook? See, don't stop there, friends. You got everything that you need right in your hands. I said, you're on Facebook? He said, yeah. I said, tell me your name. I hadn't even asked him his name yet. He told me his name. I said, oh, yeah, there, I see you. I said, hey, I just sent you a friend request. He said, thanks, I'll answer back. And before I could get in my car and start it up, we were friends. Okay? And so I got nosy, and I scrolled all the way through his feed. And there was nothing in there that disappointed me. Nothing. Nothing that said he's living some crazy, disjointed lifestyle. Nothing. Nothing. And so a couple of times just this past week, I texted him, hey, man, hope it's going well. Still praying for you. I'd rather do that than preach to you this morning.